vous écoutez Rebel Podcast. Que vous recherchez un moment d'inspiration, de réflexion ou simplement de connexion humaine, vous trouverez ici une communauté prête à vous accueillir. Je suis Christiane, votre hôte, et je suis ravie de vous embarquer dans cette aventure. Hello everyone, welcome back for a new episode. So I think my French audience might be a bit surprised that I'm talking in English right now. First of all, I have to tell you that actually I'm challenging myself to speak and to host an entire episode in English. But yeah, like I think you have well understood the concept of this podcast is really to invite guests that inspired me. And there is people that I know that are unfortunately not French speaker, but I thought that it will be a pity to miss out like the opportunity to let them express themselves. So that's why I apologize for my French audience. If you don't understand the episode, don't worry. I will launch some other episode in French. And I apologize also to my English community. If there is any English native speaker, sorry, because I might make some mistake, grammar mistake, but I promise you that it will be understandable. So, things said, today I have the pleasure to receive Danilo. I will just remind you the concept as well of the podcast, which is by inviting guests without telling them in advance what would be the thematic. So Danilo today doesn't know a shit about what we are gonna talk about. But first of all, I let you introduce yourself and give us a few sentences about yourself, who you are, briefly, like if you have anything to say.
Well, hello everyone, my name is Danilo. I like to be referred as Dani, here in Hungary at least. I think she had a really nice and interesting idea of starting a podcast. And I resonated with her idea of letting other people hear about different stories. And yeah, this is why I wanted to participate.
Great. Thank you for being here. First of all, how are you?
I'm feeling good. Thank you.
So today I have the pleasure to host this podcast because I would like to talk about one thematic. Because I remember like when we met, we were getting to know each other and talking about like our past, our childhood, the relationship that we had and that we have actually with our parents and so on. And I remember like you told me one thing, like one sentence, that I remember and that will be the intro of this podcast. It's you said something like during my childhood, like when I was a child, I felt like I was growing up in a cage or in a jail. Am I mistaken?
Yeah, not exactly like that, but more like... oh, you see, I forgot the word now as well, but this kind of like a bird cage, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why today I wanted to invite you and to talk. Actually, like the question today is how the way that we've been like raised up can have like an impact and an influence later, like on our behavior as an adult. Is it like something that resonates with you first?
Yes, I think it's an interesting topic, definitely, and something I talk about very openly with my friends. And yeah, I think for everyone, it's important to be kind of self-aware of things that you picked up in your childhood and that are driving your decisions in life. Sometimes people are quite unaware of this, and they go through life almost wandering aimlessly. And yeah, I feel if you're in touch with yourself and what happened before and with your feelings, I think that leads to better quality of life, ultimately.
Yeah, so, I agree.
I think it's important.
Mm. And coming back to this specific sentence and coming back to your childhood, actually to understand what was like the guideline and how did you get this self-awareness about yourself now that you are an adult based on your experience as a child, the way that you've been raised by your parents and so on. Like, could you explain us, first of all, what is the translation behind this specific sentence that you said to me, like, about this birdcage, basically? What is the message behind?
And yeah, well, so I think that often I speak about this cage when I talk about my father. Hi, Dad. he's probably not listening. He doesn't speak English anyways. But my sisters might do listen to this, so yeah. So I think I had quite a controlling dad, and he often would make lots of decisions for us, for me and my sister. So that kind of felt ultimately as to what I refer as a cage, you know, place where I don't have my own self and I don't have the space to even make my own mistakes. Obviously, it's not that I was always aware of this. I don't even think that when you're really young, you cannot really be aware of everything that's going on around you. But I think as I started with university, I started thinking about myself more and more, yeah, progressively, and eventually I came up with this concept.
Mm-hmm. When you said controlling, like in which way, for example, was it like the food that you are eating, the sports that you are doing, your behavior, in which way?
So this is something you'll hear a lot, even from my sisters, but my father was, for example, one thing he's really persistent with is education. I mean, some might say that's not a bad thing, right? You're all educated. Me and my sisters, we all have at least a bachelor's degree. And my grandma always used to say, oh, he educated all of his kids, because you have to understand that, like, generation of my grandparents in my family, no one actually went to university.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was the first one to go to uni.
Okay.
And he went on to get a PhD eventually. He was really adamant about us being educated. But the caveat here is that he would only sort of allow for some sort of like a discipline that, in his own opinion, was good for us.
Okay.
So any kind of desires that we as kids had were kind of quenched. For example, one of my sisters, Ivana, in high school, she really thought that drama school would be really good for her. But my dad did not really resonate with that idea. So eventually she ended up doing business school. My sister, Boyana, she wanted to do psychology. My dad, again, did not think that's something that is good for her.
Mm-hmm.
And again, she ended up studying business as well. First, I must say that, you know, I think that obviously there were some things from my father's past that drive him, you know, to have this kind of like a protecting and over-controlling approach in raising his kids. So in that regard, I cannot really have anything against him, but I'm just aware of that. By the way, Boyana, she really likes psychology and everything. All of us, like my other siblings, we really like talking with her because she really does provide that kind of like sense of assurance. She sometimes can bring this calmness inside of you. So we all really think that she would have been an amazing psychologist, actually, you see. But my dad did not see fit, you know, to kind of let her pursue this.
So it was only related to your studies and making sure that you were, from his own point of view, doing like kind of studies that maybe... will allow you in the future to get a good status and stability. And
yes, you see, so from his point of view, obviously, in his world, pursuing these specific careers would eventually give us, you know, some sort of security.
Mm.
This is what probably this is his idea, security. You know, I want security. But I would say that he was really explicit about this. There were some other things that he instilled in us and that he was adamant about, but that were more covert, I would say. One of them is food, really, you know, healthy lifestyle. That's not bad, ultimately, really. I still have these principles in my life. Like, I do sports. I try to eat healthy. My default is like being on the healthiest spectrum of a diet, right? But I feel like this kind of a lifestyle choice was more product of some sort of a pressure, although it was like we kind of accepted it unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
Me, for example. But on the other hand, like my younger sister, I feel like, and this is not anything negative, really, I love you, Angela. But she would overindulge in eating like sweets. So I don't think her diet is like, for example, like a healthy one. So, yeah, you know, you see different. Yeah.
And did your father like maybe cope with some really difficult experiences in his life before having kids that might explain the reason why and the necessity after to like kind of overprotect his child?
Well, there's one thing that really pops into my mind right away. I cannot claim that that could be the only thing that's driving all of this. I mean, maybe there is something in his life even before that, before kids, you know, while he was growing up. But one thing that really gets into my mind is that so my dad used to be a military officer. And during the 90s in Yugoslavia, we had a civil war. And he was kind of really responsible for a lot of people. He was in his 30s. At that time, he had already two of my oldest sisters, and during the war, me and my other sister were born. So he had to go through all these very difficult experiences and everything that a civil war brings. And obviously, I think that had an impact of him being the way he is. I think more or less all military men and women kind of end up more or less the same way. And I feel like, and I often heard this before, that kids of military personnel, most of the time, either end up being like super good kids, good in terms of, you know, this conception of good boy, good girl.
This model.
Or like complete outcasts, you know, because they really succumb to all the pressures that this kind of profession gives you.
And when you were saying like bird cage, like controlling and all these things, I assume that there was coming up from this a feeling of frustration, kind of like, is it something that when you were a kid, even though like you said that you are maybe not aware, but when you started to be like aware about that, was it like frustrating for you to feel that okay, maybe you don't have room to express your voice, to express your choices, and to go to take the direction that you want to take?
Yes. So one point of my life, I really started to confront him. And I think that I did this more than anyone else in my family, meaning my sister. I really started to confront him during my university about his ideas. And this, I think, even changed his perception and views on something. For example, I really wanted to go and study abroad, go for a student exchange program. I wanted to go abroad and volunteer. But his first impression, his first thoughts about that was like, oh my God, that's not
risky.
That's risky. Or again, he has his own mind and ideas and everything. I even wanted initially to go to volunteer to one specific country, I won't name it. And he said, oh, that's kind of really dangerous. I wouldn't feel safe about you going there. Not really dangerous in sense of, oh, there's a war there or whatever. Not in that sense, but in a sense where like he didn't like the country. So he didn't like the country. It's a European country, by the way. And he didn't like the country. And he was like, you know what, can you find a different country maybe? And I was like, okay, whatever. And I found this really cool project in Russia. Mm-hmm. And he really likes Russia. Like, he really loves Russia. When he was a kid, he was there. And he was like, okay, perfect. Although that option was, like, super expensive. Like, the country I initially wanted to go to was something that I could, like, manage on my own regarding the finances. And Russia, I was like, well, that's will be costly. And he was like, no, no worries. I have money for that. You know?
Okay, yeah. So actually that's the reason why you ended in Russia, like because you had to reconsider your initial choice.
Yes, true. But to get back to the topic, I was frustrated with this. I was more and more aware of this kind of metaphorical cage that he kind of imposed on us. So I would confront him. And you see, ultimately, that first thing I did kind of to do on my own, this volunteering experience abroad, was so positive and so good for me in so many ways that I came back from it full of these wonderful impressions. And he, while he was listening to me, you know, telling him all these stories and everything, I feel like it made him feel differently about these sorts of things. And eventually I also went to, you know, to student exchange program, and he was really supportive of that idea, actually, eventually. Even he was even open to allowing my younger sister to pursue such experiences, although she did not really end up doing it eventually. But he was more open to it.
Okay. And this kind of confrontation that you had with your father, was it helpful for him maybe to understand that, okay, now it's maybe the time to give the possibility to your child to experience by themselves? And was it like helpful to open kind of a debate and to maybe make him reconsider his opinion about it? Or you were confronting to a wall and...
Okay, so my dad, he's pretty much like a wall. He still is, but I think after that kind of that period, he kind of softened up a bit, I would say. But ultimately, I don't think he changed a lot. Yeah, but I do think that it kind of softened him up.
Okay, so if we put it in the context, so you were at university when you started like to feel this kind of frustration. Was it the starting point to your own reflection about like, okay, this kind of behavior and education that I received might impact the way that I'm actually behaving myself, when this awareness came up, actually?
Yeah, I think around that time, because obviously I was aware of it, you know, I'm not allowed to have my own voice and to do things on my own, to make my own mistakes. That's also important, to make your own mistakes. Although our parents, you know, want to be overprotective and they want really best for us, I still think that my parents, both my mom and dad, they really wanted what's best for me, but what they think is best. So they're driven by their own experiences, right? But yeah, around that time, I was more aware of it. So through this kind of rebellious spirit, I would say, I wanted to start my own journey and my own way of doing things in life. And that's still like a very much ongoing process, because I think it's not easy to change some things that are deeply instilled inside of you. But if you are aware of them, and the more you are aware of them, the more you can, you know, recognize any kind of feelings that might arise from some life experiences, and it can help you.
Yeah, I agree. And like we were saying, that actually the way that you've been raised might have an impact and an influence on your behavior as an adult, but still, like, sometimes it's super complicated, like, to make the link and connect all the dots between, for instance, if we take like this specific behavior coming from your father, and after the impact that it can have on your own experience, your personality, and so on. Like, you were saying that you had this awareness during uni, but were you able to connect the dots at that time and say that, okay, maybe I'm behaving like that because of that or because of this?
I think it takes time to kind of, what's the expression here, untie this knot, let's say. It takes time.
And how did you make this link?
Well, first of all, I think that talking with people helps. I think it's always the best when it's a professional. So if you talk with a therapist, for example, they can really lead you and help you navigate this in an effective way. But also just talking with friends, it can also be helpful. But I think that if you grow up in an environment where your feelings are invalidated constantly, you always question yourself. So I feel like all my siblings and myself have that capacity of, you know, going inside of us and asking this question, am I right? Am I wrong? How, you know, going inside and having this reflection. So that kind of can help with this conundrum, right? But it's not the only thing that, as I said, it takes time. So with time and proper things, including, you know, therapists, talking, so on, I think things can get better.
And today, as an example of this, what are you aware of related to your own personality that might be a reflection of what you had experienced from this kind of controlling education?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are lots of things, honestly, lots of things that pop into my head, but maybe something that I've been thinking about lately a lot is kind of discipline and whether, and also ambitious, like being ambitious. I feel like I'm ambitious, but my point is not just ambitious or disciplined, but being ambitious or disciplined, but also, is it healthy? Like, does it come from a healthy place? And for example, lately I thought that although, you know, front page, I look disciplined and I, you know, do sports, this and that, I feel like this discipline might be coming from some sort of like a compulsion. Like my dad was always about healthy lifestyle, right? So in that extent, am I being disciplined about in my life, specifically, you know, choosing to do sports or eat healthy just because I'm pressured into it subconsciously?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I've been thinking about lately, honestly. So, I mean, ultimately, I cannot complain because it's a good choice.
Mm. And it's positive anyway.
It's positive, but it's not the healthiest in some regard. Because I'll give you an example. So I think one of my sisters is also kind of facing the same dilemma. Maybe she's not aware of it. Maybe yes, maybe no. So I have one sister and she had anorexia, you know, when she was in high school. And so she's really sensitive and insecure about like the way she looks. She always puts a lot of effort and care in, you know, how I look, how other people perceive me, you know, my body, how it is, stuff like that. And for example, she also had this like discipline. For example, from high school, she did not eat a single sweet. Like, I swear to God, she did not eat a single sweet because she associated that with
something
good.
Harmful, like?
Yes, something harmful. Harmful. Something that will hurt her, right? And hurt her body,
physically,
her looks, right?
Yeah.
And she projected actually her fear onto her body. This is what we do, right?
Yeah.
Like me staying fit. You know, am I projecting my fear onto my body? But she just does it in a different way. Like, oh, if I eat something sweet, it will make me look fat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So she was she's very disciplined to this day about not eating sweets. So this would be one example of, I would say, unhealthy discipline. You know what I mean?
Okay, wow.
This is very interesting.
Yeah. That's super interesting, yeah, to see, like, the path. Because I assume that, you've been conditioned, kind of, to achieve or to reach a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
And after, maybe, like, this kind of ambition to be, like, on the top has been, like, transferred to the way that you are seeing yourself, like, either mentally or physically, that you are imposing to yourself actually to always like reach the top and to follow actually this.
Many things are kind of linked to that and kind of interwoven with this, you know, perfectionism, this kind of sense of discipline, control, you know, we impose on ourselves, you see? Everything is connected. And I feel like we just have to work bettering ourselves and trying to understand ourselves better to be ultimately happy. Because I remember when I was kind of the same time when I thought about this cage concept, I also thought about some ideas like, what do I want to do in life? What's my goal? And one of the first things I wrote was like, I want to be free. I want that ultimate sense of freedom. What did this freedom mean to me? Well, this freedom meant to be free of this cage, to be out of this cage, or to be free of any way of thinking, doing that can put obstacles in my way and that kind of hinders my growth and prevents me from being happy, ultimately, and satisfied with my life. So that was one of the first things that I thought about, actually. I want to be free. And I feel like going abroad and traveling, living away outside of my country was kind of a way, the easiest way, something I perceived as the easiest way to detach myself from my father. Because I always felt, even if I lived in my hometown, even if I did not live with my parents, I would still feel that I'm in this cage.
So as of today, now that you are living in Budapest, not even the same country, like, do you feel free?
You see, I'm still struggling with some of these things, but struggling meaning they still have impact on my life, but I'm more aware of these things, definitely. And as I said, it takes time to work through these things. I would say that it affects me less and less as I'm becoming more aware of it, and it's work in progress. That's the only thing I can say at this point.
So you are in a good way to freedom?
Yes, I hope.
I hope the same for you.
Thank you.
But yeah, it's like really complicated actually, because I think one first step is like to be aware, to start like to deep dive in all this mechanism, which is super intricate, like super complex actually. It's not that easy. Like, how do you do to help yourself going through this path or of like getting to know yourself, your inner child, and to heal from this these past experiences, for instance?
Well, it just frustrates me. It frustrates me that, you know, I have desire, for example, to do some things, to be somewhere. I have some ambitions, some goals, right? Things I want to do in life. And if you can in real time see that there is something that's kind of stopping you from reaching that place you want to be at, you get really frustrated with it, and you start wondering, oh my God, what am I doing? Why do I act this way? And eventually you kind of work through things and you reach your goals, right? You get where you want to be at. It's not easy.
So, and you, if you have maybe some advice to give like to someone who is like dealing with this same kind of struggle, what would be coming from your own experience, like what would be your advice?
This is the tricky part, honestly, because I noticed again, you see, the way I was conditioned was like, think about, oh, am I right, am I wrong, you know, always reflecting upon myself. So I feel like that helped me kind of in trying to navigate this. But some people are completely closed, completely unaware, unready to communicate, to open up. So I cannot really speak for them, because I don't know how to. In my own experience, this kind of self-reflection helped me find my way through these things. But if someone is completely shut off, I don't know how can they work with these things. But some people are even unaware of these things, and you would say they are doing well in life. Like,
yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? Mm-mm. For example, like, I don't know, what's a measure of success today? I don't know, like money or being super successful, having your own company or whatever, I don't know. Like some of hyper successful people are really driven by these things from childhood, and they're really pressured. You know, they do not feel the best. You know, they are tearing themselves apart from inside, but they're constantly pushing, and they're being held in this loop, you see? And like, if you're super successful, right, you don't perceive anything as wrong. Although deep inside, you might feel like, oh, something's off.
Like, I have, for instance, an example, like from an influencer that I'm following, like on Instagram. And like, she was super, and she's still super successful, running 4 businesses by her own, like super driven by her own experiences. But actually, like deep inside her, she was like struggling, and she's still struggling with anxiety. She was like super, super anxious at this point, that she was always, even though like what she was doing was super great and people were super satisfied about it, like she was always, always questioning herself, always seeing it like as something not really successful, although like it was super successful. And at the end, like, she ended up with the breast cancer, because I think like all this anxiety, all this stress, and this accumulation of pressure, meaning that I think like you can be super successful, and I think that in your experience, this kind of personality traits maybe prevent you to access to this success that you are describing and your vision of success. But in the other hand, I think you can get access to success. But if you are dealing and you are struggling with these kind of things that are following you, like this kind of emotional baggage or emotional luggage, even though like you are super successful, I feel like you won't be able to reach this inner peace, you see? So,
very true.
So yeah, that's why I think, yeah, and again, we all have our own way to work on these things. Like some people, as you said, are not aware at all, but I think...
You see, I feel like, sorry to interrupt you, yeah, but no. You see, some people maybe are not aware of it, but then something comes in their life, you know, something that kind of like gets them really shaken, you know, like really like, well, something tremendous, you know, very stressful event or something that triggers all these build up emotions in them, and that event can sort of like make them start thinking, oh my God, I think that I had everything under control and that everything is good, but it's not. And then, you know, like some people, they go to see a therapist and this and that, and then they slowly, you know, start working through things. But some people go through their entire life just unaware of these things, you know, and they spend their whole lives just being like some sort of a puppet. And I know that this is something I would not like to have in my life, for example, really. Like, just imagine being given this like gift that life is, you know, with all these experiences, everything, things you can do, and just to find out that it was not me.
Yeah, true.
I did not have the option. I did not have the, you know, freedom, sort of, to.
Yeah, it's not that easy, like, first of all, to be aware of it, and after, like, to work on it, to connect all the dots and to understand, like, who you are. So sometimes I feel like we are spending time, like, to get to know people, like, to socialize, but, like, at one point I'm like, but, okay, we are spending time to get to know people, but we are not spending, like, that much time to try to get to know us. And sometimes it's, like, scary, and I won't say the opposite, just to confront yourself. I can totally understand that there is people ready for and people who are not at all able to do so. But yeah, I think it's a really complicated thing, like, to connect and to understand yourself based on your childhood experiences and everything, like your parent, because all of this can really impact the way that you are. And that's why, actually, I wanted to talk about it with you, because I've been quite impressed about your emotional intelligence, the way that you are aware about yourself and aware about, like, what, how you are behaving. And I think it has a really good impact as well on your connection, like, with people, because you will notice, like, if you are behaving like this or like that, the reason maybe why behind that, or you will maybe work on that and to improve yourself and to always kind of try to be a better version of yourself. So it will be even beneficial for your relatives and your friends and so on, you see. So yeah, that's why I really wanted to talk about it with you, because that's the first impression that I got from you, which is super positive. And I wish that you will find the keys and the answer to this, because it's not an easy work. But I think, yeah, you are in the right track, and I really encourage you to continue to do so.
Thank you, I really
appreciate that. So I think that's the end of this episode, but before saying goodbye, like I have a tradition in my podcast, at the end of each interview, I want people to share, if you have anything to share, like, I don't know, everything, like, artistic, like, something that you would like to share to people that you really enjoy, like, this past few day or...
Okay, on this topic, the book Child in You, the author is Stephanie, I think I forgot the surname, but Stephanie something, The Child in You, and let this be a first step towards untying the knot in your life and helping you in living a more fulfilling life. This is a book, and I think music, I'm all over the place, really, so I would not dare to give any songs, but, you know, something that is super funny, that kind of really, song that really gave me good vibes, like, these days is, again, I don't know the... the artist, but the song is What a Man.
Yeah.
Man, it really gave me good vibes. Like,
I agree. This kind of jazzy.
Very positive and uplifting, okay. I would say. Because you see, you think about all these things and then you kind of tap yourself on the shoulder and say, hey, you're doing all right. And this is the song kind of to amplify this feeling.
I think it's from Lindell.
All right.
Something like that. I mean, I will double check in her. Anyway, I will put the book and the song as well, like, in the description of this episode, like that. If you are interested in, you can check it. But thank you very much, Dani. It was a really pleasant discussion. Thank you. If you are still listening to this episode, I hope it was interesting for you, and we will see each other in the upcoming episode. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.